Turn to song number 37. Song number 37. All right, song number 37. There Will Be No Dark Valley. On that verse. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. To gather his loved ones home. To gather his loved ones home. To gather his loved ones home. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. Song number 37, on that second. There'll be no more sorrow when Jesus comes. There'll be no more sorrow when Jesus comes. But a glorious morrow when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. To gather his loved ones home. To gather his loved ones home. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. Verse 3. There'll be no more weeping when Jesus comes. There'll be no more weeping when Jesus comes. But a blessed reaping when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. To gather his loved ones home. To gather his loved ones home. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. There'll be songs of greeting when Jesus comes. There'll be songs of greeting when Jesus comes. And a joyful meeting when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. To gather his loved ones home. To gather his loved ones home. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. Amen. Brother Kyle, would you pray for us?
Father God, we thank you for this day, this gathering of us together here. We'd like you to fill Pastor Thompson with the Spirit and have him convey your message to us. Lord, can we pray? Amen.
Amen. All right. Song number 164. Song number 164, praise him, praise him. Song number 164, praise him, praise him. On that first,
praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing all worth his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, one. wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loudeth Hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Let's take our bulletins and go through them. If you need a bulletin, would you lift up your hand? And Brother Ramon will bring you a bulletin. Another hand over there. On our front cover, we have a verse of the week. It says, the words of wise men are heard and quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 17. It's a great verse there. And our service times are 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, 3:30 p.m. And our Thursday Bible studies at 6:30 p.m. We'll be in Genesis chapter 26 for the evening service tonight. And so we're sticking with Genesis. Our soul winning times are listed below. We do have soul winning today at 1 p.m. Please let Brother Brandon know if you're planning on going soul winning today. And we had 12 salvations this week. So all the extra soul winning has been panning out really well. And we had 6 saved in Longview yesterday. We had 1 saved in Scappoose, a Jew. He was a professing Jewish believer. But he got converted to Christianity yesterday. So anyway, I don't think he was like a hardcore, you know, one of those guys. But anyway, he said he was Jewish when we first got there, so I counted as a Jew being saved. Now he's a true Jew, right? Anyway, and then we had throughout the week, Brother Neb had 4 salvations up in Tacoma yesterday. Were you up there? Or you were at Longview. So that was a good day for him. And then we had a couple other saved during the week. So keep up the great work in soul winning. So you can see our salvations, baptisms, and attendance totals there. And on September 2nd, which is this Wednesday, well, this Thursday, I'll be preaching in Cincinnati, Ohio at the Fundamentalist Conference. So I'm looking forward to going to Cincinnati and checking that town out and preaching with my friends. But I'll be preaching Thursday night. I think it's at 7 o'clock. So pray for my travels as I go. And then I'll be back Saturday and preaching Sunday morning for the regular service. And let's see, we have coming up also that same weekend that the Fundamentalist Conference is going on, we're going to have a soul winning marathon in Tri-Cities. The Spokane Church is sponsoring that. And so right now we have about 40 people saying that they're going to attend. If you want to attend, please let Brother Robert Larson know in a WhatsApp message or something that you're coming, because I want to make sure I order enough food, because I'm ordering food for everybody for the lunch. And the meetup place is going to be at Robert's house at 9 o'clock in the morning for breakfast and coffee and donuts or whatever it is. And then there'll be a couple hours soul winning, and then there'll be the Panda Express for lunch. You guys are probably going to be sick of it by now, but we'll try to switch it up at some point. But it's just really easy to order it online and have it picked up. So, and it's pretty good too. So anyway, So that evening after the soul winning's over, Robert's going to be barbecuing. And so if you wanted to stick around for dinner, you could go back over to his house. If you're looking for the address, what I'll do is I'll post it in the WhatsApp group. If you're not in the WhatsApp group and you want to go and you need the address, then please just see me after the service or contact me anytime this week. Also coming up, we have the September 12th. Brother Daniel Kutsar is coming to preach for us. And so he's going to be preaching both services on September 12th. So that'll be the following weekend. So please make sure you welcome his family and treat them right while they're here. And he's going to come preach for us. So I'm excited about that. September 21st is our homeschool field trip to Sky Zone. However, I'm sure that there might be some bumps in the road with that. Have you heard anything, Miss Rachel, about that? Okay. So it is, it's still a go at this point, but like there is a mask mandate in the state of Washington now. So I don't know if we're going to keep that because I don't think everybody wants to jump on trampolines with masks on. That's just a guess, but I know CJ doesn't want to. So he'll probably be working anyway. But yeah, I mean, so it might end up getting canceled. We might end up having to do something different. You know, hopefully one day this madness will be over and we can actually live a normal life without being infringed upon all the time with all this stuff. So anyhow, people are revolting over this. They're getting sick of it. So I don't blame them, to be honest with you. So anyway, that's a tentative thing. It still is scheduled to happen. But Miss Rachel, if you find out as soon as possible, you let me know whether that's canceled or not. So, and then October 3rd, I'll be preaching at Pure Words Baptist Church in Houston, Texas for Pastor Shelley's church there. And also October 5th, I'll be preaching at the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. And let's see, that'll be on Wednesday. I'll be preaching there. Pastor Roger Jimenez is going to be preaching for us on November 14th. I had to change the date because he asked me to move it up. And so Pastor Jimenez will be preaching for us on the PM service on November 14th. Extra soul winning has been going on, and it's been doing well. Right now, we don't have a Wednesday soul winning leader. So if you're interested in being the Wednesday soul winning leader, then just come and talk to me about that. I'm looking for somebody that can actually do it faithfully every week. You know, obviously, things happen, and you might have to switch days or just cancel soul winning. But if someone's willing to do that time, I'll put a name back in there. But as of right now, we don't have a Wednesday time. In September, which is coming around the corner here, Brother Sean is not going to be able to do all those times for the extra soul winning. But someone else, I think Brother Robert and Remy are planning on doing, picking up some of those times. So I think you're still doing Thursday and Saturdays, and I think Robert will do.
Well, Robert's
going to
do Monday and then
Wednesday. Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Sounds great. And so you see that little those little asterisks next to the Psalm 148 challenge. Psalm 148 challenge, I didn't want to say what it was because I didn't want somebody already working on it before I got a chance to say what it was. But there was a guitar, a brand new guitar in a box donated to our church. And so it's just kind of up for grabs. The first person that memorizes Psalm 148 and gets back to me and they can recite it to me, then that person's going to get that guitar. All right? It's right over there. Ooh, it's in the box. Ah. It is a beginner's guitar, so, but it's fairly nice. And so, obviously, free is a very good price, right? Well, I mean, it's not free. You got to work for it. You got to memorize some verses. But so it's not completely free, but you don't have to pay for it with money. So the first person that gets that challenge done gets it, you know. So that's the way it is. And then if you still want to do the challenge, maybe you didn't get the guitar, we'll still give prizes for people that do it. So I'm going to give about 2 weeks in order for this to be done, and then that'll be it. We'll close the door. The windows of heaven will be shut unto you. But 2 weeks from today, that challenge will be done at 11:59 midnight. No, if you call me at 11:59, Julene. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think they're here, but or she's here. Where is she? Not here? Okay. Anyway, so that's the Psalm 148 challenge. So the first person to come to me and recite it word perfect. It can't be willy-nilly. You know, the ETH has to be at the end of words and stuff like that. So anyway, we're a family-integrated church. That means the children and infants are welcome during the church services. And we have mother baby rooms and dad baby rooms available for your family. For your convenience, the mother baby room is located there. Dad baby room is located over there. There's ways to listen to the sermon still and not just be in here. So if you need to use those rooms, they're available for you. And there's rock. And let's see. We want to reserve the back rows for families with young children. Rockers are for pregnant and nursing mothers and elders only. Please no men in the mother baby rooms and vice versa. No attended children in any area of the building. So please make sure you're keeping an eye on your children and cleaning up after them accordingly. And silence your cell phones if you would at this time, please, or put it on airplane mode. Escorts are still available by ushers. If you need them, just tap one of the ushers on the shoulder and they can walk you to your car. Also, online donations are available on our website, and the text giving number's there. The tithes and offerings that have come in so far for August are there. Ooh, sorry. And then we have one birthday, and last week we sang happy birthday to Maddie, but guess what? We're going to sing happy birthday to you again. So her face is turning extremely red right now. Everybody look at her. Okay, good. So let's sing happy birthday one more time, just because I want to embarrass her. So, no. Happy birthday, Maddie. It's today, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's sing happy birthday. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, I think that's all we have for announcements. Yep, that's it. Okay, let's sing another song. Oh, wait, one more thing. Okay, so the music people, we got Psalm 148. All the music is printed off here, and I'll just put it, I guess, just you guys can just come and grab it, or I'll put it over here. So anyway, let's sing another song, and we'll receive that.
All right. Song about eternal security, song number 152. We're going to do this song a little differently. Verse number 4 will be a cappella, and we'll do the rest normally. Just verse number 4, a cappella. So I want to hear you guys sing it out. All right, verse number 1. More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. Not yon star on high abiding, nor the burden homeless hiding. Song number 152 on the second. God his own doth tend and nourish. In his holy courts they flourish. Like a father kind he spares them. In his loving arms he bears them. Neither life nor death can ever from the Lord his children sever. For his love and deep compassion comfort them in tribulation. All right, a cappella, I want to hear you guys sing it out. Little flock to join, then yield thee. Jacob's God will ever shield thee. Rest secure with this defender. At his will all foes surrender. Amen. What he takes or what he gives us shows the Father's love so precious. We may trust his purpose wholly. 'Tis his children's welfare solely. Amen. Brother Sean, would you bless the offering?
Acts chapter 4. Acts 4, the Bible reads, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which ye have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of the healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Brother Sean, will you pray for us?
Amen. Okay, we're in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. The title of the sermon this morning is The Powerful Name of Jesus. Look at verse number 10. It says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the name of Jesus and the power that it has behind it. Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that that name is the only name we can be saved by and the only name that we should pray through, and that it has much power in its naming. And Lord, I pray you fill me with your Spirit this morning as I preach your word. Give me boldness and power to preach the message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so the powerful name of Jesus. Now, right here in Acts chapter 4, the Bible plainly tells us here that there's no salvation in any other name. Isn't that what it says in verse 12? "Neither is there salvation in any other." Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. Yep. Jesus is the only way. And it says, "For there is none other name under heaven." None other, right? "Under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." What name must we be saved by? According to the Bible, the name of Jesus. And so, just as a quick introduction to this, I want to go into the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, the name of Jesus was not known unto them. It was not known until he was born in Bethlehem that his name was actually going to be Jesus. But I want to show you just a couple things where Jesus appears in the Old Testament as as the angel of the Lord, and also a verse in Proverbs. But let's turn to Judges chapter 13, verse 15. So you have the prophecy of Samson in this chapter, and the angel of the Lord appears unto Manoah and his wife and gives a prophecy about the birth of Samson. Now, obviously, Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh in the New Testament. He was born in Bethlehem, but before, sometimes, and I'm not saying that every angel of the Lord that appeared to people was Christ, but I definitely think this one is. And I think that the angel that wrestled with Jacob was the Lord. I believe the captain of the host of the Lord's army was a pre-incarnate Christ. But because Jesus has always been and always will be, right? He's from everlasting. So, but look at Judges chapter 13, verse 15. It says, "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee." So he's trying to prepare a sacrifice for this angel. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret?" The name of Jesus was a secret in the Old Testament. And so that name was not known to them. And look what it says. It says, So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon the rock of the Lord. So again, there you got your picture of the rock being Jesus Christ, right? And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. So why do I think it was Jesus? Well, listen to what they say here. It says, "And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God." So now, if you looked upon the face of God the Father, you would die instantly. But people could look on the face of Jesus and not die. All right, so, and it says, But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have shewed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. So I believe that that was a pre-incarnate appearing of Christ. And it, you know, when he asks his name, he says, Why are you asking my name, seeing it a secret? So he cannot reveal his name. If he was like Gabriel or Michael, why would that be a secret unto him? And it's just because the name was not revealed in the Old Testament. Now look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. And then after we look here, we'll get into the main parts of the message here. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 says, Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? So obviously, God is the one that has done all these things. And it says, what is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? So in the Old Testament, his name was not revealed. And so it's kind of asking this question, do you know his name? Well, now we know his name. Now we know his name is Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the Jesus the Christ. And Christ just means anointed one or the Messiah, right? So now let's look at Acts chapter 2. So point number one this morning is that we are saved by the name of Jesus. And I just wanted to emphasize this even more. I mean, I think those verses in Acts chapter 4 are super clear. But look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, obviously, baptism doesn't remit your sins. Baptism is just a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. But when you repent, when you change your mind, and when you get saved, you have to change your mind of whatever worldview, if you're an atheist, if you believe in evolution, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Hindu or a Muslim, you have to repent of that belief and that false ideology that you believed before, and you have to put your name, your faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it says? Yep. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. So, you know, we are saved by that name. That's the name that we're supposed to believe in, right? It's not Jehoshua or Yahshua or Yehuda or any of these black Hebrew Israelites or, you know, whatever they come up with as the name. Hey, if it's the name is Jesus in our Bible, okay? So that's the name that we are supposed to call upon to be saved. So look at Acts chapter 8, verse 9. Acts chapter 8, verse number 9. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 says, But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. So this guy is a sorcerer. You know, the people regarded him and thought he was a great person in the earth, that he was had the power of God upon him. And look what it says in verse 11. It says, And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. So this guy is not, sorcery is not the power of God. It's the power of the devil, first of all. But look at verse 12. It says, But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So they believed the preaching of Philip and the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, so the name of Jesus Christ is super important when we're preaching. If you're not bringing up the name of Jesus while you're out preaching the gospel, you're not doing God a service in that way. People are generic when they answer our questions. Well, who do you have to believe in? God. Yeah. We used to have a kid in one of our junior church classes, and when I would ask questions, you know, to some of the kids or whatever, he had two answers that he gave: Jesus and God, no matter what the questions were. Okay, but like he'd always say God, you know. But people do that at the door with us too when we're out preaching the gospel. Like, what are you putting your faith in to be saved? And they're like, God. And there's nothing wrong with that, but like I always try to get specific with people. What God is that? Because, you know, now when you knock on doors, you could hear pagan. Who's heard pagan out soul winning? Yeah. Or pagan. And you're like, okay, what does that mean exactly? They don't believe in Jesus. That's what you should know by that. So not everybody believes in Jesus. When they say God, some people believe that God is a woman. You know, she. They say she as if God is a she. God is not a she. And so we have to get specific because the Bible's teaching us that we need to get specific. Doesn't it? Regarding, you know, it says, and the name of Jesus. A lot of people didn't know the name of Jesus. You know what? Today it's the same way. A lot of people, they might have heard of Jesus, but maybe the Jesus they believe in isn't the right Jesus. You know, the Mormon Jesus is not the same Jesus that I believe in. The Jehovah's Witness Jesus is not the same Jesus I believe in. So actually, you know, we need to get real specific. Even about the fact that he is God manifest in the flesh. But the name of Jesus is very important when we're out preaching the gospel. We need to actually have people understand that it's Jesus that they have to put their faith in. Amen. Right? Matthew chapter 1. Let's turn to Matthew chapter number 1. So point number 1 is we are saved by the name of Jesus. We're still on that point, but I just wanted to emphasize that. We are saved by the name of Jesus. Look at Matthew 1:21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus. Who's going to save the people from their sins? Jesus is going to save the people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So who is Jesus? God with us. He's not some lesser God. He is God manifest in the flesh. Then look at verse 24. It says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So I know Sam Gibbs confused about that, but you know, the Bible is very clear that it was his name was supposed to be Jesus. All right, so in the Old Testament, people called upon the name of the Lord that they knew at that time, the name that was revealed to them in those time periods. So let's look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, because we are supposed to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Now, obviously, we call upon the name of the Lord in prayer. But to be saved, we also are supposed to call upon the name of the Lord. And that doctrine's been attacked. It's been a while since I heard anybody attack it, but a couple years ago, I think it was 2-3 years ago, maybe it was longer than that, I don't know. But there was a group of people that were saying that Pastor Jimenez was a heretic because he was saying that you have to call upon the name of the Lord. There was a big controversy about it. But the Bible's very clear that you must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved.
Yeah, yep.
And that's been the way it's been since the beginning. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. It says, and to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. So now obviously they called upon the name of the Lord in prayer, but they also called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And so the Bible is very clear we have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Look at Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. I just want to cover kind of how the name was different then that you called upon than you do now. So Exodus chapter 6, verse 2, because God has many names. But when it says to call upon the name of the Lord, you know, you are calling upon a specified name. Now, obviously, God is his name also. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty, and so on and so forth, but look, and Jehovah. But look at Exodus 6:2. It says, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And so it says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. So how did he appear to Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac?
by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So here we have the name of Jehovah being revealed to Moses and saying, this is what they knew me as before, but this is my name is Jehovah was not known to them. So even earlier on, God reveals to us information as he sees fit. We don't have to know the reason why God does everything, but the fact is that his name was not revealed as Jehovah until he saw and met with Moses at the burning bush. Now let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And Joel chapter 2, verse 32 is quoted in Acts chapter 2 by Peter. And so look at Joel chapter 2, verse 32. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever, that means anybody, right, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now that word obviously delivered also means saved, right? So you could call upon the name and be delivered from some kind of, you know, calamity that you're involved in. Some kind of, you know, your life is crashing down around you. You could call upon the name of the Lord to be delivered. You're being persecuted. But that word also is translated in Acts as saved. So when you get saved, aren't you delivered from something? You're delivered from your sins. You're delivered from hell. And you become a child of God. There shall no condemnation come upon you. And we are passed from death unto life at that moment. And so we are delivered when we call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to save us. It says, for Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. And obviously this is a very famous passage that we all use out soul winning all the time. But the reason why I'm emphasizing this so much is because I know that sometimes people just, maybe for whatever reason, don't always use the name of Jesus when they pray the sinner's prayer with somebody. And I think it's very important that we do use the name of Jesus when we pray the sinner's prayer. Now, it doesn't matter if you've been talking about Jesus the whole time, but there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Yeah.
So when you're calling upon the name of the Lord, you're helping someone to call upon the name of the Lord. Don't you think you should do what the Bible says and pray in the name of the Lord? And what's that name?
Jesus.
It's Jesus, isn't it? So look at Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's what we preach too, right? The word of faith. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. See, you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart. Who do we believe in? Who do we have to believe in to be saved?
Jesus.
So if you're not using the name of Jesus, then what are you doing?
Right.
You know, you have to call, you have, when you pray the sinner's prayer, when people are trusting in God for salvation, the name of Jesus is the name that we need to be using.
Yep.
Says for, in verse number 10, it says, for the heart, verse number 11, it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's the name of the Lord. That name is Jesus. So it's super important that we use the name of Jesus in our gospel presentation. You know, just using the generic term God, again, I'm not taking away from the fact that he is God and that would be a name. You know, if you say God, you know what God you're saying, but they might not realize that. So it's very important that we preach the right Jesus, first of all, and that we use the right name. How many times do you see just even scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or whatever where people are using the name, you know, Yehuda or whatever, some weird Yeshua? So, but does your Bible say Yeshua in it at all? Does it say Yeshua? No, it doesn't. So the name that you see in your English Bible is Jesus. So, again, if you're not emphasizing that name, then you're not doing it right. You know, people are like, well, I don't know. No, you need to call upon the name of the Lord, and that name is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. It says, how then should they call on him? Who's the him? Jesus, in whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe in him? That's Jesus, whom they have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So it's our job as the preacher to go out there and tell people that they need to be saved by faith in him. And that name is Jesus. It's a very powerful name. Look at verse, or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. The Bible says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, obviously, I believe that this is talking about people that have been saved. They're sanctified in Christ Jesus. They're called to be saints, and in every place that call upon the name of the Lord, of Jesus Christ our Lord. So again, that could be prayers, but so we're supposed to call upon the Father, though, when we're praying. So that's why I think that this differentiates. You know, we don't pray, we don't pray directly to Jesus. We pray directly to the Father, which brings me to point number two, that we are to pray in the name of Jesus. So, you know, it says every, you know, in the verse that you're at right now, it says everyone in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that that's talking about salvation. They've called upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. Now, do I think it's wrong to pray to Jesus? I don't think it's necessarily wrong to pray to Jesus, but don't you think we should do things the way the Bible says for us to do them? Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Now, obviously, when we get saved, we pray to Jesus Christ. You know, we call upon his name to be saved. And again, Jesus is God, so it's not. I don't think it's wrong to pray to Jesus, but I think that when we address, even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father, which art in heaven," right? So you're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. So look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father." What does it say? By him. So who are we? Whatever we do, we're doing it in the name of Jesus. Anything that we do as a Christian, we should be doing in the name of Jesus, not in our own name, amen, not in somebody else's name, but in the name of Jesus. Hey, people should know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Don't be embarrassed of his chain, so to speak. You know, Paul was saying, don't be, you know, they're not ashamed of my chain. Well, don't be ashamed of the chain of Christ. Yeah. So it says in Colossians 3, verse 17, that we're supposed to give thanks to God and the Father by him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn to John chapter 14, verse 13. John chapter 14, verse number 13. I'll just give you one more scripture on this point here. It says in John chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask," what does it say? "In my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So we're supposed to pray in his, you know, we're supposed to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and then he's going to do things for us that we ask. Doesn't it say, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it? Yeah. So, I mean, that's the pattern that we see in Scripture. You know, if you prayed to the Holy Ghost, he's God also. So it's not like necessarily wrong, but I just think that, you know, when we're going to our, you know, if we're being real specific, we should be praying to the Father through the name of the Son. Okay? So look at John chapter 18. I'm going to go to my third point, my final point of the sermon, is the power of the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the Bible that we use. He is the Word of God. And we are, you know, when we use the name of Jesus, that name is very powerful. Demons screech in terror when the name of Jesus is invoked upon them. Look at John chapter 18, verse 4. Even the fact that he just speaks when someone asks him what his name is. Look what happens here in John chapter 18, verse 4. It says, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So obviously, you know, Jesus is also the great I am. You know, he is, you know, I am, you know, he has all these, I am the bread of life, you know, and all these other things that he says in the Beatitudes. But, you know, just the fact that they asked him what his name is, and when he said, I am he, they all fell down on the ground. That's how powerful Jesus' words are. Now, look at back at Acts chapter 3, verse 2. Acts chapter 3, verse number 2. The name of Jesus is powerful. And when we use the name of Jesus when we're doing things, that name is so powerful, it does lots of things that are miraculous. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 2. It says, And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So they're specifically using the name of Jesus to have this man rise up and walk. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ did things like this multiple times in his earthly ministry, but now the apostles, who are that other foundation laid upon Christ, are using that. They're not using their own name. They're not saying the name of great Peter and John. They're saying in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. That name of Jesus is powerful, and the apostles used that name and said, Hey, rise up and walk. And what happened? He rose up and walked. And not only was he walking, he was leaping and jumping for joy, as would anybody that wasn't able to walk and was able to walk again, perfectly normal again. Now look at Acts chapter 5, verse 38. You see, because the name of Jesus is very powerful, and so when they said, hey, rise up and walk, they rose up and walked. Their faith in Jesus and the fact that they're spreading the gospel in this early church, but they're showing, you know, the apostles were given special power like that from the Lord Jesus for the first century, but I don't believe that that power is used today in that way necessarily. I mean, obviously you can pray for people and they'll heal. I'm not saying God doesn't do miracles anymore. I'm just saying that miracles like this don't happen. I mean, you see these Pentecostals that go around and they're whipping people with coats and, you know, talking in tongues and all this stuff. And like, you know, they seemingly heal people. What's that guy's name that, like, stretches people's legs out or whatever? Is it Todd White? Is that who I'm thinking of? Anyway, he, like, tries to say, hey, that guy's leg was longer than the other, and then he, like, stretches his leg out and they're both the same size or whatever. I don't know. It's just all these false miracles. How come they don't go into children's burn centers and heal burn children and children that have ailing issues? They don't because they can't, because it's all phony. They pay these people to do these false miracles and wonders. So look at Acts. We're still in Acts chapter 3. Oh, no, I had you turn to Acts chapter 5. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 5, verse 38 says, And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. So the apostles were out preaching the gospel and doing all these things. And the people, of course, the rulers of the Jews were upset with this, And, you know, they're being told to leave these people alone. It says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Why would they? So they beat them. They think, okay, well, if we just give them a good beating, they'll stop preaching in the name of Jesus. That's what they wanted, right? They were commanded, these rulers of the people were commanding them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. You know why they wanted them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus? Because the name of Jesus is powerful. That's why. Because the preaching of the cross is powerful. The preaching of Jesus to be saved is powerful. That's why we have so much opposition against us all the time. Because why? We're preaching the name of Jesus and people are getting saved as a result of that. There's always going to be someone trying to stop us from preaching the gospel and from going out and fulfilling the Great Commission. Yep. And maybe they will beat us. Maybe they will, you know, impact our ministry in some way, shape, or form. But we're never going to quit speaking the name of Jesus. No matter what they say. No matter what they do. That should be our attitude. You should settle that in your heart right now, because hard times are going to be coming.
Amen.
And, hey, settle it in your heart now. Because when it comes time where you actually have to make a stand, you'll be ready to stand in that situation. Look at verse 41. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Whose name? Jesus' name. And so when we suffer because of the preaching of the cross, you know, if someone cusses you out and slams the door in your face, someone hits you or whatever, they attack you in one way, shape, or form, if they're messing with you at work, all these things. Hey, why don't you just count that as a thing to rejoice about, because that means you're doing something right.
Amen.
That means you're doing something right. And what did they do instead of listening? It says, and daily in the temple, and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So they didn't take the warning, you know, because it's better to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
It's better to obey what the Bible says and to preach the name of Jesus. Why? Because it's powerful.
Yep.
Because it gets people saved.
Amen.
It's a name above all other names.
Yep.
There's no other name to be saved by. There's no other name that we call upon the Lord for. There's no other name that we pray through. And people are going to get saved if you continue to preach the Bible. If you continue to preach the name of Jesus and have people call upon his name. So, you know, why is it such a big deal for them to not preach in Jesus' name? Because it's powerful. Because, you know, they wanted to stop them from spreading any further. You know, and some people will just take this and be like, okay, well, maybe we'll just say God. Just a generic God. You know, we preach God. God loves you. And he does. I get that. But like, some people are so scared to preach the gospel that they just do anything else but preach the gospel. They do anything else but preach in the name of Jesus. They say it, but they're not willing to go out and actually preach that name. You know, and what happens is the enemies of Christ, they fall. When we use the name of Jesus, it changes hearts. It changes minds. It changes people's eternal destiny.
Amen.
And what would the enemy love more than to stop that from happening?
Yep.
That's what they want to stop from happening.
Yeah.
They want churches like our church,
yep,
and the churches that we've started to crumble and fall.
Right.
Why do they want that? Because they hate the name of Jesus.
Right.
And they don't want people to be saved.
Right.
I mean, what other explanation would you have for that?
Right.
People come at our church all the time. They've been doing it since we started. And they'll continue to do it,
yep,
long after I'm gone. You know why? Because when you preach the name of Jesus,
yep,
you're going to get opposition.
Yep.
You're going to have people lie about you.
Yep.
You're going to have people make up things about you. You're going to have people just cast out your name.
Amen.
You know why? Because they cast out the name of Jesus too.
Yep.
They called him Beelzebub. They called him the devil.
Yep.
And they're going to call you far worse than that.
Right. Yep.
And they're going to mock. And they're going to make fun. But you know what? Someday God's going to break the teeth out of their mouth.
Amen.
And they're going to get cast into hell. Turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And obviously, I don't want people to go to hell. Yeah, we all have choices in life. You know, we've chosen to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ at this church. You know why? Because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. And nobody out there that you preach the gospel to and you don't bring up Jesus is going to get saved.
Right.
Because there's only one way to heaven. There's only one name to be saved by. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 26. It says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple," because at one point Paul was persecuting Christians. But he ended up getting saved. It says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in what? The name of Jesus." Paul, you know, before was capturing people. He was trying to get them to recant their faith. He was imprisoning them. He was had letters to go and grab these disciples and take them back and have them punished. And now the guy that was destroying the faith is preaching in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's how powerful Jesus is. Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus and blinded him. And then 3 days later, he received his sight back. You know, Saul got saved. Saul got baptized and started going out and preaching in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Look what it says in verse 28. It says, "And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." So right away, Paul starts getting the persecution that he was given other people. Why was he getting persecuted, though? It says he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, we should not be ashamed to speak the name of Jesus. We should not be ashamed to not, you know, to preach the name of Jesus Christ. He preached boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. People get upset with us because we dispute with people about things. What did Saul do? What did Paul do? He disputed with people that were wrong about things. And obviously he wanted people to get saved, but sometimes people come and try to challenge the doctrine and things like that, and they need to be disputed against. You know, we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. What does contend mean? Fight! Sometimes there's battles that we have to fight. People get weary of those battles. People get upset, like, all we do is go through battles. That's all they did in the book of Acts.
Yep.
They followed Paul around like weird stalkers all the time. And they would show up before he got there and start trying to rile up the people against him.
Yep.
And it's like, it's so weird that when it plays out in our own churches, that people are just like, oh, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know this was going to happen. What do you mean you didn't know it was going to happen? Have you ever read the Bible before?
Amen.
That's all you see. Yep. It's called the book of Acts because it was action.
Yep.
They were doing good works and they were preaching in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And what happened? But they went about to slay him.
Yep.
The enemies are always going to come at us and try to slay us.
Yep.
So just get used to it. You know, and if you don't like a church that's filled with action,
yep,
then maybe just go back to an old IFB church that never gets persecuted.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Go back to the non-denominational church that you go to and never get persecuted.
Right.
Go back and do whatever, you know, if you just don't want to have any rewards or you don't want to be in the battle, then that's fine.
Yep.
But don't, you know, sit here and complain and pull other people out.
Yeah.
Because we're about preaching the name of Jesus at this church, and we're going to continue to do that no matter what. And nothing's going to stop us. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 18. Acts chapter 16, verse 18. Acts chapter 16, verse 18 says, "And this did she many days." This is some demon-possessed woman that's following Paul around, and they'll talk a big game. They'll talk about Jesus, and they'll, you know, but I've seen people that are straight up demon possessed talk about God and Jesus. People are going to follow us around, whether that's on the internet or whether that's in our lot, you know, at an apartment complex. You ever had someone follow you around an apartment complex, pulling all your invitations off the doors? Why do they do that? Because they want to oppose us. Because they want to stop us from getting the name of Jesus out there so people could be saved. Look what Paul does. He finally gets sick of this woman following him around, and she's possessed. And it says, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And what happened? And he came out that same hour. So this woman is possessed by, it sounds like a male spirit. But this spirit is a spirit of wickedness. And what happened when he invoked the name of Jesus Christ? He commanded in the name of Jesus Christ, that spirit came right out the same hour. So there's great power in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at our last set of scriptures I'll have you turn to. I figure I owe you an early dismissal at least one time out of the year. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And I know I've gone to these scriptures a lot. I love these set of scriptures. And I think it puts everything into perspective of why Jesus has this name that's so powerful. Because he was humble. Because he humbled himself. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. See, Jesus' name is above every name. That's why there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look at verse 10. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. At some point, even the most wicked atheist, the most God-hating fiend, is going to bow the knee to Jesus Christ whether they like it or not. They're going to bow the knee because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to come back, and when he comes back, it's not going to be a pretty picture for some people. The enemies of God, he says, bring them before me that I may slay them. Slay them before me! The enemies of God are going to have their day, but let's not let them have our day. Let's try and fight against them as much as possible because, look, anytime you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to be suffering some kind of persecution. But, you know, God is not going to just allow us just to be killed at every door or whatever. Maybe there is going to be a time when the saints are overcome. But you know what? If you're one of those people, then guess what? You get a better resurrection. Bonus. Right? It's a bonus. It's like, hey, you know, how'd you get that great resurrection? Well, you know, I had to get my head cut off, but it's back attached again, so, and I got a better resurrection, you know? So it doesn't sound very appealing, but, you know, that kind of thing's over in an instant. Yep. So, you know, even if we do get killed for our faith, at least we have a better resurrection to look forward to. Yep. The people that during the time that Jesus comes back, the people that before he comes back that are killed for the name of Christ, you know, they're going to be living in a very special generation. Not everybody gets to have that kind of resurrection, but obviously there's been martyrs throughout the years, of course. The prophets have always been persecuted by the wicked. John the Baptist's head was cut off by a guy that actually liked him. He liked John, and he killed him just because his wife was super wicked. So it says that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things of earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even those people that are unsaved are still going to call him Jesus Christ the Lord. They're going to know. Even the devils bow down to him. Like every time you saw Jesus come, you know, the devils would come out and manifest themselves, but they're subject unto his power. Amen. And they would bow down. And they don't like Jesus. They hate Jesus. They hate God. So we are saved, number one, by the name of Jesus. Number two, we are to pray in the name of Jesus. And number three, we need to realize the power of the name of Jesus. This is powerful. Yep. And don't forget, when you're out sowing, to make sure that Jesus is the emphasis and focus of your gospel presentation. You know, obviously the gift, eternal life, all that's very important too. I'm not saying it's not. But getting them to understand that they need to believe in Jesus and who Jesus actually is, God manifest in the flesh, is very important for people to understand. The death, burial, and resurrection are very important for people to understand. So when we go out today soul winning, make sure that you're emphasizing the name of Jesus, because that's what the Bible teaches. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, even though we endure persecution and our names are maligned and dragged through the mud, and you know, we're mocked and ridiculed, Lord, even so, we're still going to preach the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the Savior. Thank you so much for the fact that He died for us and was buried and rose again the third day so that we could be saved, Lord. Pray that you just bless this church, Lord, put a hedge of protection about it, and I pray that your name would be proclaimed in a mighty way from our church from this day forward. Every time we go out soul winning, every time we do something nice for someone, that, Lord, that we want to make sure that you get the credit for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 89, and then just keep your finger there, and then also we're going to do Psalm 117. So we're going to do both 89 and 117. All right, Psalm 89. It's only verse number one, so... Amen. Verse number one.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Amen. Psalm number 117. Psalm number 117.
Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you